Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. 1,000-pound thoroughbred athletes are back at Hawthorne, Chicago's hometown track. Download the Club Hawthorne app. Watch and wager from anywhere. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Meller. Thank you, JR. Even with that stupid umbrella you had behind the studio.
Hey, from this side of the glass to you, we hope you catch a lot of fish today.
Trust the Gordon's fishermen.
I love that. That's so good.
Anyone else have a hankering for some fish sticks?
I do. My kids love those Gordon's.
Yeah, it's Friday, of course.
Yes, fish fry.
Yeah. We Catholics love a good fish on a Friday.
Got to go up to Wisconsin, get a good fish fry.
Thank you to Jake DeLome and Jeffrey Dickerson.
Yeah. And?
Hoodie and I back.
And
the great Carmen DeFalco.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
And Hoodie and I will be back on Monday, hopefully for a victory Monday.
Bears.
And don't forget the college tailgate show tomorrow, Ubleck and Abdallah.
Carm and Yurko.
Football Friday, boys.
What's up, fellas?
How are you? Time to rock and roll.
You ready
it's a
to
nice
go,
autumnal
I'm
day.
I'm excited.
Yurko's got his Bears gear on already.
That's right.
Love it.
Never peak too early with the Bears gear.
Never peak too early?
Never be too early.
I'm sorry.
I thought he said never pee too early.
It might. Well, you never want to do that either.
No.
You go right in your shorts. That'd be a dilemma.
I hear you had a salty little response from my Yellow Submarine reference. And now I got to explain it to the listeners exactly what I meant now.
Yeah, I thought it was the Beatles song.
That's what I thought.
Well, and it is a Beatles song, and I do believe Villarreal, the Spanish club, do use that Yellow Submarine as their, like, team song when they're having fun.
Really?
But they wear yellow, you know, not much like in the EPL. They've got a team called the Canaries because they also wear yellow. Mm. But Villarreal wears yellow. Their fans always have the Yellow Submarine scarves, and they wear yellow. And they call themselves the Yellow Submarine.
No kidding.
So if you're wearing that particular color of bright yellow, and my kitchen's painted yellow.
My focal
wall's a little bit darker. I like the fact that the sun is up during the winter.
Yeah.
When I go to my kitchen, turn the lights on, the sun's up.
That's interesting.
So what is it? You know, people like to get under bright lights during the winter.
Yeah.
Because it affects their mood.
Because it's gray.
Me, myself. So there you go. There's the Yellow Submarine. Wow. Our people on Twitch can't see it. But, yeah, a bright yellow jersey, that's their jersey. So there you go. You can tell people, oh, no, I'm a Villarreal fan.
Correct.
So if they want to bust the shot.
Yeah. You're not Gorton. You're
I'm a Villarreal fan. You're a Yellow Submarine.
That's great.
That's right.
Take that.
So it's not quite
but
the,
you was,
it's,
was,
it's, this is not quite the go F yourself, Yurko.
Yeah, which I heard earlier. I was like, oh, my God.
I was here for that.
The saltiness of that.
Nonetheless.
Go blank yourself. Well, that's what take that is. You guys know that.
Yes.
That's blank
you.
Yourself,
of course. That's blank you.
Yes.
Brent H. on Twitter said, Cap, love you, buddy, but that zip up is just awful. Guess what, now, Brent? Listen. You shouldn't wear it then.
Take that, Brent. Hey, people are going to have thoughts on what you wear all the time.
Oh, yeah. They don't stop on Twitch.
I tell people go blow it out their kids.
Yeah,
that's
what
the
you,
easiest
you
way
can't even care. What do you get?
Doesn't make a difference.
Well, you know what? Unless you're...
I don't care. I don't get paid to get dressed.
Right, exactly.
I get paid to get thoughts.
You know.
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad thoughts. Sometimes they're idiotic.
But they're thoughts.
Sometimes they're quite intelligent.
I'm not Versace over here. All right?
That's right.
Who cares?
Well, actually, you are.
Well, maybe I am.
That's a good point.
I'm not Ralph Lauren. How's that?
Yeah, well, that's better.
All right, yeah.
I'm not Calvin Klein.
I thought it was Versace.
I don't know. Dixie Versace. I don't know who. I don't know Versace. Who he sounds
Italian.
Well,
I'm asking, is he Italian? If
sounds
he's Italian,
Italian,
then you could theoretically
about,
be a Versace.
How about Giorgio Armani?
Huh? There you go.
That's a name, isn't it? Giorgio Armani.
Versace. Like my dress, it's Versace. Remember that in the movie Showgirls?
I don't remember that. Boy, you're quoting Showgirls.
How about
that? Deep, I'll tell you. I watched Showgirls once, and I don't care how scantily clad they were dressed. That movie is unwatchable.
Oh, I watch it whatever comes out.
That movie is that's got to be in the running for the worst movies of all time,
yeah,
right?
It is awful.
Ishtar would be up there.
If I'm going to watch something that has girls that are topless, I'm just going straight to adult film.
That's what I'm doing.
I don't mess around with the little.
It's called the internet,
right?
Just I don't. Showgirls is awful.
Not mess around.
Like if it were 1970 and you needed the Sears and Roebuck catalog, like and Showgirls came on, you'd say, "Well, I got
two
it's better
things
than nothing." In 2020,
right.
You got no shot.
Two things that theoretically can make it happen for Johnny Handsome is A. just the thought of what it might look like when somebody, a young lady, is fully dressed.
Yeah.
You know, oh my, I wonder what that looks like. It probably is phenomenal. So it's that, or it's completely naked. Let's just get down to action.
That's what, yeah.
That's it.
I'll take
There's
that.
There's no in between.
No in between.
Right. Yeah. There's no, oh, just, no. It's either that or it's that, and those are the two things that can make it happen.
It was produced in 1995, Carmen. It's not like, it was very, like, the early days of the internet. So it's
it
not,
was. No, I know. That's what, I mean, like, back then, I kind of get it. If you were, but to watch it now, I mean, it's an unwatchable movie. Like,
oh, it's watchable for 8 to 10 minutes.
Boy. I saw it once and I was like, never again.
I never saw it.
It's trash.
That's why I got Black Tail.
It is absolutely trash.
I can always do it, turn that on.
Showgirls or P-Valley?
Oh, well lately P-Valley.
You watch P-Valley?
P-Valley.
P-Valley?
Starring Thomas Jones.
Oh, that Thomas Jones is in that show?
I'm not saying starring. I mean, Thomas Jones is in it. I mean, that's starring, but...
I knew he was acting.
So Thomas Jones, I'll tell you what, he has really turned the corner from his days as a running back. He's been on several shows as a love interest. Ooh. So he was on Being Mary Jane with Dwayne Wade's wife, Gabrielle Union, right?
Yes.
And Gabrielle Union is a media person, and she's really complicated.
Bring it on.
She can't find a man, so she pays for Thomas Jones.
Really?
To come over and... take care of things.
Yeah, gigolo. He plays a gigolo then.
Yeah, I guess
so. Yeah, he's getting paid.
He plays a gigolo.
Yeah. In a P-Valley, something similar, where Thomas Jones.
No kidding.
I mean,
boy, he's good looking.
Still looks great and still just.
Bringing the heat.
You know, still running through the line.
Absolutely. Rock hard.
If you're part of the expression.
Excuse me.
That's how it works, Yurt.
That's his name in
exactly.
The show.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so that's where that goes. So there you go. Like the Bears Sunday?
I don't. I don't like
them. Yurko doesn't have a good feeling about
until
this.
Until the offense proves to me to actually score points, you know, on a regular basis.
I know.
But maybe if they score in the third quarter, I'll start to believe.
I have a better feeling about the Bears this week than Yurko does. And normally it's flipped. He's usually the more optimistic one. I actually have a better feeling about them this week.
You know, they lead the NFL in scoring in the fourth quarter.
Well, of course. They're a plus 38 guys in differential in the fourth quarter. You know how many touchdowns they've given up in the fourth quarter this year?
It's crazy.
The answer's one.
One.
And it was, you know, they were blowing out the Giants at halftime, and then they went down their leg in the second half. They didn't score, and the Giants had that touchdown to kind of make it interesting. They've given up one fourth-quarter touchdown this year. They're, I think, plus 38 in fourth-quarter scoring differential.
Cannot keep playing from behind.
Nope.
Come out of the
not built that
come
way.
Out of the tunnel and score, for God's sakes. Give me a three at least.
Be nice, wouldn't
give
it?
Give me something.
I know.
Can't keep doing this.
But like we just talked about, guys, this is the defense to maybe do it against. 25th in defensive DVOA. It's a far cry from the two teams they've faced previously that were 1-2 in the NFL. So I guess we could use the rationalization in a sense that while they're playing two really tough defenses, okay, that's true. By the numbers, eye test, everything else. This ain't a great defense now. Without Kawan Short, who's going to be missed
second
for the
straight
second straight year.
He's hurt his shoulder.
So, all right, so if Bears don't win Sunday.
And Brian Burns is in concussion protocol.
If the Bears don't win Sunday, I'm not sure where the next win's coming from then. That's for real. I get Rams, Saints.
Gets a lot tougher after
Tennessee.
This. The look ahead line has them as a 7-point underdog on the road in the Monday night or next week, boys, against
the
Rams.
So what were they last year when the game went off in L.A.?
Oh, that's awful. Would you clear that up?
Yeah, you got to clear that up.
Clear that up, for God's sakes.
There you go.
You're a professional broadcaster, for God's sakes.
What's going on, Harry? I do not remember.
Can I have some cream of mushroom soup?
And
Brian Chowder?
Brian Burns, I believe, is still in concussion protocol. I'm checking the latest. The latest says that his status is still unclear for Sunday. So they lose Kawan Short, like Cap said, for the second straight year, and their best defender might not play, too. So that takes a defensive DVOA team that's ranked 25th and probably makes them even worse. So if you can't go out and score this week,
so
I don't know when you
say
can.
The Rams, Bears a
I
year
don't
ago?
Remember. I want to say they were like a 5-point underdog. Does that sound right? Something like that? I'd have to go back and check. I do not know. Look ahead line for next Monday night has the Bears as a 7-point dog going to L.A. Yeah, we'll see.
That might not move much, even based on the game on Sunday.
Might not. And I think the Rams, even though they have to go on the road and play in the division, and they're a field goal favorite at San Fran, I think the Rams are going to get the best of the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. So I doubt that line moves too much.
How about this? And I just figured this out, Yerk. just for my south side deduction. You know what I've done?
South side deducing.
My south side deducing
should be your fantasy football team.
Counting my toes and my fingers, everything else and everything
all
28
else. 28 of
them. Yeah, I was counting everything. You know what? It's the first time the Bears will play in front of a crowd.
It was six.
Yes. It was six. Thank you, Kev. Yeah. When? This weekend.
Last
will be
year,
the first time they play in front of a crowd.
First time in front of a crowd. Yes. Yes.
Small crowd, but
20,000 or 6,000? Which one will we have?
DeLome said 6,000.
Yeah.
6,000.
6,000. Wow. In an NFL stadium. Sparse. It's crazy. It's sparse.
I might go to the Jacksonville game.
Go down to Jayville?
Yeah. Right after Christmas.
Oh.
For the Bears.
No, Bears. Bears play
Bears
Jayville.
Yeah.
Bears Jayville.
Mm-hmm. Well, find out what's going on there.
I might go to Miami to go see the dog, Dirty Dog. He's living down there in Miami, so I might head down there.
Last time you were there, you almost got a job there. I know the cons reached out to you
need somebody to wash the boat.
To be an ambassador.
You know, what are you doing? There's a lot of barnacles on this yacht.
He says,
is there any chance you can get under there and clean those?
You were such a great Jacksonville player. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? No plans. How'd you like to come over and clean my dinghy?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, I will.
I go, you do mean your boat, sod. I hope
come
so.
Come on over and cut my lawn.
Nice man.
No, he... You know, he's been moving people in and out of there. He's trying to figure out exactly what he has and what he doesn't
he's
have.
Trying to find
Here's
out
John Yurkovich, our new president of football operations.
You were close to a job. You brought your LinkedIn. You showed your resume.
Yes, I had the resume in
you had,
there.
You had your sure. CV. Your,
the resume.
They've been getting guys in there and out. They've been trying to figure out what it is. But when you let your best players go, when your best players you let go, you've got a problem then. That's... You can. I mean,
all of them. They're all gone.
The pass rusher off the edge.
Dante Fowler.
You got Ramsey gone.
Ngakoue.
You've let gone. Too many quality.
AJ Bouye gone.
If you let Calais Campbell leave, that's fine. He costs a lot of money.
And he did.
He had a little bit of an impact for you. He doesn't have to be the guy in Baltimore. He can just be a guy.
Right.
You were paying him to be the guy. So.
Yeah.
But you got to shuffle the talent back in there.
That whole defense is different.
But and Talvin Smith is out because he did some off-field stuff and got himself
I'll tell you what. No one has better job security than Caldwell, their GM. How's he still in the job?
I don't know.
How's
he'll
still
be gone after this year.
But he's convinced him that he's the one that knows what's going on. So that's problematic.
So there you are going to
begin with.
It's going to be you.
They hire Loggeman as the Jeff Loggeman. Then Loggeman will bring me on as like a director of college scouting, director of pro scouting, something like that.
That's bring him in as
half glasses.
Director of weekend scouting. That's where you're bringing him in as.
Capologist.
Capologist.
Jeff, we can't pay that man that kind of money. We've got to move on from
director of weekend scouting. Where should I go get hammered?
We have to pay our kicker how much?
Oh, please. You're going
to get our We're going to have our meetings at the landing, kid.
I don't know. But the landing, there's a place that's gone south for the winter. When I was there, it was a viable area.
Yeah,
no longer viable. You know, they had when the Bears played them that one year, they had that one guy get killed down there.
Is that right?
Ever since then, it went. So you don't remember that?
Oh, was that a stabbing
it
or
was
something?
A stabbing.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yes.
Wow.
So I mean, I've gone down there, and then they had the hurricane move through in the St. John River.
Yeah,
overflowed its banks and caused a lot of damage down there. We got a break. I get it.
Right. One quick thing. Can we speak with someone who eats
Waddle.
Popcorn? I think it's
Waddle.
Number 87.
Is that Waddle?
He's making a mess over. There's crumbs everywhere.
I mean, as long as they're not COVID crumbs, I think
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the crumbs can have the COVID,
really...
He's got potato chips and popcorn.
It's embarrassing.
There's a cleanup crew that used the same mop at WLS as they use right here. It's the same mop.
Tommy can eat a little bit neater, you know, or more careful. But the custodial staff certainly is not sweeping the room.
I don't think they're coming through anymore. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if we have
it's a mess.
No, I've seen the custodial staff.
The problem is like this. You get, that's how the roaches come out, though, then, you know?
La cucaracha.
La cucaracha. You get this how you get bugs in here.
Well, take a picture of it, put it on Twitter, and shame them, guys. That's the only way it's going to happen.
I did an Instagram story.
Well, there you go.
So,
all right, time to go.
Waddle, you're better than that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys take that. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Carmen Yurker next. We'll see you Monday morning, 7 a.m. See ya.
Trust the Gorton's Fisherman.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Nobody's going to be making fun of your Bears jersey, or Bears sweatshirt, excuse me. Not like Cap's yellow submarine thing.
I mean, listen, the guy's got to have confidence. You wake up in the morning, you put something on, you got to have confidence in whatever you're going to wear.
Yeah.
Period. That's it.
He's not shy,
that's
right?
It. Like, yeah.
You can't walk out of the house. And
just because he looks like the Gordon's fisherman doesn't mean he is the Gordon's fisherman, but it's always fun busting his chops because you know what? He deserves it.
Same guy that used to drive that blue Corvette, remember?
He
doesn't care. Like.
But he smashed that up, didn't he, a little bit?
He smashed it up in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, incident and accident.
Yep.
Yes.
He bent the rim or something.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a problem. Tire goes flat right there. You compromise the bead, Carm, the bead between the tire and the rim.
And you're in trouble.
Well, you go flat right away. There's no gray area. Yeah. Tire might not be damaged, but you need a new rim, that's for sure. And on them Corvettes, champ.
Expensive.
Them rims don't cost like $35. You're talking about a good amount of money.
Well, welcome in on a football Friday,
everybody.
Yeah, we got week 6 in the NFL. We did not have a Thursday night game, of course, because that game had to get pushed to Monday. The Bills didn't play until Tuesday, so you couldn't ask them to play tomorrow night. We wait on that game. The league will kick off week 6 on Sunday, and the Bears will be at Carolina at noon. Yurko's got his smoking hot keys in about an hour. We'll talk to Todd Furman at 11:30 live in Vegas. Mike North has his bonus play at 11:45. And then Yurko's 13, smoking 13-pack. He's been working on it. He's been crafting it all morning.
I've been emptying my mind, and it took all about 3 seconds. I emptied my mind, all right, to get rid of all the poison that's up there. To get there and get a pure, crystal clean look at what I'm thinking about all these games. And I'm going to have 13 of them. 4 byes this week. You know that, right?
Yes, yes.
Seattle's on a bye. You got some pretty good teams that are on a bye.
Yes, Seattle's on a bye this week. The Raiders are on a bye week.
They are, Carl.
The Saints are on a bye this week.
Chargers are on a bye.
And I think the Chargers. I believe those are the
very
four
challenging fantasy week also to try to find enough players to go ahead and start.
Of course, it is
a very challenging gaming week, but I think we are going to be on there. Also got keys, kid.
Yeah, I said that. Yurko smoking
I'm very excited. Sponsored by no one.
Sponsored by no one.
Sponsorship available.
So if you would like to sponsor Yurko's keys, all you small business
maybe
owners out there.
You.
A locksmith should be all over this, right?
You would think.
Jiffy Lock. We'll unlock your locks anytime.
Yeah, the old Micah Locksmith. Out of Calumet City.
Brought to you, Yurko's keys, brought to you by Micah Locksmith in Cal City.
Here's what else we've got to remind the audience. Race 3 will approximately be going off at 12:20 our time. So we will be off the air. 12:20 our time. Okay?
This is at Belmont Park in New York.
At Belmont Park in New York, the 7-horse in the 3rd race. It's got a little crypto clearance blood in it. Exfiltration. Morning line still at 9 to 2. Check it out. This is the play. Salute the tiny one, Harry Tiny One.
Whose 60th birthday was yesterday.
Exactly. So we just have to throw that out there right at the beginning of the show.
That's a post time of 1:40 East Coast time? Is that
East Coast
okay,
time.
Okay. All right. So, yes, we will be off the air. Greeny will be on, but get your bets in.
Get
now.
Your bets in, guys. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. There's also a horse in that race called La Urbana.
Mm.
So if you went to Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
There might be a minor vibe that you get on that horse, and there's a chance to maybe do yourself an exacta perfecta or use it in all your exotic wagering.
I'd box him up, my man. Yeah. That's what I would do.
I'd box him up. I'm going to box you up if you keep talking trash today.
Have I talked trash?
I'm going to dot your eye is what I'm going to do.
I don't know that I've talked
you
any trash.
You haven't, Carmen. You've been quite exceptional today. You know what I can't wait for?
What?
Tonight?
The odds couple tonight, 7 to 8.
I'm excited about
week six, in the National Football League, some big college games.
If I miss it, I know I can catch it tomorrow morning.
You can catch it tomorrow at 8. You can download the podcast and all the great podcasts at the ESPN Chicago
app. Very excited, Carm. Baseball, the World Series is coming upon us.
It is.
They're making a decision who's going to get there, who's not going to get there.
How about Atlanta, man? A game away. The Dodgers, again, could be on the outside looking in.
And the great regular seasons.
Nobody cries.
Anybody back there a Dodgers fan I'm not familiar with? You know, I used to be a Dodgers fan back when they had the, Say, Lopes,
Russell. You're going way back.
Phil Russell. Is it Phil Russell? The shortstop, Phil Russell and Steve Garvey.
Phil Russell.
It was Phil Russell, yeah.
Ron Say was the basketball player.
Yeah.
Steve Garvey.
Yeah. Joe Ferguson was in the outfield.
You're going way back into the 70s those Dodgers
teams. Love those Dodgers teams.
Yurko, the Braves could advance for the first time, I think, since 1999. I believe that was the last time the Atlanta Braves were in the World Series. They can advance with a win tonight. They got another brilliant pitching performance.
How did we not say Atlanta Braves with all our money?
Well, Atlanta was one of the favorites. I mean, you were only going to get about 10-1 in Atlanta. I mean,
maybe.
Most places, I'm guessing
Cincinnati.
They were 10 or 12-1. The odds weren't nearly as good.
That's why we
but
got
their
the
pitching has been great.
Floor.
Yeah.
Well, the popcorn's on the floor because, you know, we bet on Cincinnati, and we should have known it would end up in upheaval and a mess.
It doesn't really matter, I don't think, what other franchises do when your team comes up short of expectations.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of griping about the Cubs, though, and, like, they haven't maximized this window, right? Like, we compare it to the Bears in the 80s and how they never truly maximized that defense. Well, you know, some unfortunate things happened, like Jim McMahon getting hurt in 86. Things might have been different in 86 if Jimmy Mack didn't get hurt, right? And he couldn't play at the end of the season and in the playoffs.
And then you ran into some buzzsaws for one reason or another.
You know,
in the playoffs, you had a punt return touchdown take you out of one.
Yeah, that's right.
San Francisco playing in theoretical bear weather.
And they smoked
them. Come in here and just didn't matter.
They came in
here and did whatever they wanted.
28-3, right? Yeah. So you ran into a great 49ers team. But, like, yeah. I mean, so it's a little different, baseball to football, because I think it's harder in baseball, and I think history proves that. Look, no NL team has even repeated since the Big Red Machine. That was before I was born.
Right. That was in the 70s.
Like that
75 and 76.
75 and 76. I was born in December of 76.
I was watching those.
You were watching them. You were little. But, like, that's how long ago that was. That's how hard it is. And so does it make you... I don't want to say appreciate. That's not the right word. But, like, are you more forgiving almost? I don't think so, because I don't think fans care about anything that is not related to specifically their team. And I think Cub fans are wondering, like, why couldn't they win a little bit more or win another one in this window? But the Dodgers show you just how hard it is. They're on the verge of getting eliminated, not even going to the World Series. For the second straight year. They lost back-to-back World Series, and they've won, what, 8 or 9 consecutive division titles. But it looks like it, down 3-1, they're going to fall short of even making it there. The Astros, as great as they've been, cheating and all, won one World Series. Now, they're still alive, and they're a little bit more alive because that series is 3-2. But I don't know. Like, it just goes to show you how truly hard it is in baseball.
All you can do, Carmen, baseball, is make it to the dance, make it to the playoffs. This year it was expanded. But for the Dodgers, it doesn't matter. You make it to the dance, and you hope you can catch lightning in a bottle. And sometimes, even more importantly, you hope another team doesn't catch lightning in a bottle.
Like the Braves.
That they just play to who they are.
Right.
Instead of playing above who they actually are. And then you end up getting eliminated by it. So I think that's what's happened to the Dodgers here. They haven't been able to catch really lightning in a bottle throughout the whole playoff system, and then they've had teams that have caught fire and gotten them.
You've got a Braves team minus, you know, game three. You've got a Braves team that's pitching has been simply sensational. They've run into a buzzsaw.
May have been beaten by a team that didn't catch lightning in a bottle, but lightning in a garbage can.
There you go. Very funny.
And that, I'm here for you, kid. I'm
nicely
here all
done.
Week, guys.
The Bears have a much more favorable matchup in week 6. They did win in week 5, but the offense was, by and large, putrid once again. Will that change going into Carolina this weekend? It's something we'll discuss next. Plus, Lewis Riddick's thoughts on the Bears, Foles versus Mitch. And are they truly a contender? We'll play some of that. Oh, my goodness.
You're right.
I'm Verklempt.
Oh, you went all cappy on us.
I did.
You're
I know.
Right.
Excuse me. I've got a fish stick stuck in my throat.
Would you have clam chowder this morning?
No.
Oh, I did fish stick.
Oh, my God. Excuse me. Ooga. Ooga. we'll play Lewis Riddick from Waddle and Sylvie coming up next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko's hard at work at his Yurko's dozen. My advice would be just play Yurko's games individually because he's been really good on the year. He's trying to hit this 13-team stinger every week, which is damn near impossible. But you picked a lot of winners. Last week was your first losing week, so good for you.
It was, Carmen.
Should have a guest spot on the odds couple.
Yeah, I'm very frustrated.
I'm very frustrated, too. It's been not a great start to the football season. I've lost the juice, which I hate doing to people, especially after last year. Mike and I covered about 60% of games. Right. You want to be over 53%, you make money. We hit it about 60%. You hit 60% in the NFL. There aren't many, you know, you'll get people BSing you that they hit 80. That's a flat out lie. I mean, nobody can hit 80% over an NFL season. It's just become too, it's impossible. And so 60, you take it every day. It's been a little bit of a struggle. I've lost the juice on the air in my best plays. So I apologize to the listening audience. I will continue to try to do
that. Well, it's the first 2 weeks that I did it. I did it starting in week two. I was 19-6 is that right? 19-6-1.
Something like that. You were incredible with
I was uncanny.
Uncanny. I mean, that's terrific.
And now I've slowed down.
Picking every game.
Now I'm 12-13-1.
There's usually some regression.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's happened for me.
It kind of happens, my man.
It happened for me. I'm not feeling too good about it.
Is this the week the Bears offense gets going? Well, it could be. They should be able to run the ball. Carolina is 31st in the NFL in stopping the run. Kawan Short, for the second straight year, unfortunately, has had his season cut short. So that's one advantage. Brian Burns, maybe their best defender, their best edge rusher anyway, is in concussion protocol and is questionable to play on Sunday. You know, the last two Bears opponents rank 1 and 2, respectively, in defensive DVOA through 5 weeks in the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Carolina ranks 25th now with some potentially serious defensive injuries. So this should be the week. You've got a whole another week now of prep with like a full-on week with Nick Foles getting acclimated and accustomed to things with Matt Nagy. Even though the practice week was a little goofy because of the minor COVID scare, they had a practice player test positive, obviously, so things were shut down Monday. It was a little bit different, but there's no reason that you can't. Even though you're going on the road, it's not the same. I mean, you're not in front of 60,000 fans. You might be in front of six. There's no reason the Bears can't go on the road and play well offensively. Like, when are we going to see it, Yerkin? Could this be the weekend?
Listen, the defense says it hasn't been exceptional, but they played well enough.
I agree.
The defense has played well enough. Scoring defense, they're second in the NFC. They're fourth overall in the NFL in points per game. There's no gray area.
I'll give you some other numbers when you're done.
That's fact.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's a fact.
It's a fact.
Offensively, we find ourselves in that same conundrum we were last year.
Yeah.
All we asked for was to be average, and this team hasn't even become average with the offense. Nick Foles is his third week.
Right.
Right? Got
second
another
full week.
Extended week of practice after having the short week last week.
Third full week. I'm sorry. You're right.
Right. Yeah. But an extended week of practice.
Correct.
Even with missing the one, it doesn't make a difference to me.
Yeah.
I think you saw the communication between the head coach and the quarterback where there was actually something being said, things being processed. A give and take going back and forth between the coach and the quarterback, the starting quarterback, as opposed to the coach just talking to the quarterback and getting that blank stare back. That blank stare like, I almost got hit by a car. What's going on here? I have no idea what's going on. So there's actual communication going on. So I need to see it, though, Carm, before I can wager on it. I need to see it happen on the field before I can have confidence that this thing's going to be able to replicate itself and this team will move from being 20, whatever they are, into 16th or 15th in the NFL and becoming just a very average offense.
I mean, if I set Cole Kmet's catches at 1.5, you'd have to go under, right?
No.
Wouldn't you? Isn't that sad?
Did you see the coaches blaming themselves? There's nothing wrong with Cole Kmet.
They did. That's 2 weeks in a row they've done it.
There's nothing wrong on with the Cole field. Kmet. It's our issue. Yes, we're starting to find that out. It is your issue. And, of course, without the great Juan Castillo.
Yeah, well.
The greatest offensive line coach in the history of the world. He must be.
Lewis Riddick was a guest yesterday, the Monday Night Broadcast with Waddle and Sylvie. He's always great talking football, talking NFL. Here's Lewis Riddick when asked the question, are the Bears contenders in the NFC at 4-1?
Yeah, I see a contending defense. There's no question about that. When you're top two and third down in red zone defense, and you're holding the team right at 20 points a game or less, you're going to win a lot of games, provided you don't turn it over and put the entire team in jeopardy as far as just making it too easy for people. What will hold Chicago back is probably the same thing we've talked about for the past 3 years, and that's the inability to score points on a regular basis, move the ball on third down, be more efficient in the red area, be more explosive, and they're still trying to figure that out. they're still trying to get to that point. And I'm sure it gets frustrating for the fans. It gets frustrating for you guys to talk about. It gets frustrating for the people. I'm sure there's some of the guys in the locker room. But that's really the riddle that Matt Nagy and Ryan have to figure out. It's how do we become more explosive? What else do we need to do? And until they get that figured out, you know, they're going to win their fair share of games just because, like I said, they can still play good special teams and defense. And they'll do enough on offense as long as they don't turn it over to keep themselves in games. Then, you know, it's just a crapshoot down at the last minute as far as kicking a field goal or something like that to steal the game. But they have to find a way to become more explosive, man, if you really want to deal with the teams that are truly going to be there in the end. And I'm not saying you have to have Pat Mahomes or Patrick Mahomes, or you have to have you caught me. See how I caught myself there?
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to have him. You don't have to have Tyreek Hill. You don't always have. You don't have to have DK Metcalf. Or, you know, you don't have to have those guys at every position. But you have to have some component of that, man, and they got to get that figured out. They got to improve that.
And here's a little bit more from Riddick. He said that, and he knows Matt Nagy very well. They go back to Philly together. He said Nagy knows his offense needs to get better.
Knowing Matt like I do, knowing that he knows he has a championship caliber defense, knowing that he knows that what's on the line this year, what the expectation is, what kind of scrutiny and what kind of evaluation process he is right now, you know, being subject to, I think he will be open-minded and objective enough and professional enough to say, hey, look, this isn't about anything other than trying to get this offense to score points and get these players to play better than they already are. This isn't about me. It isn't about me showing how smart I am. It isn't about me being stubborn and just trying to do it my way. I think he has enough awareness to go, hey, look, whether this comes from Nick, that conversation, or it comes from within himself, or if Bill Lazor says it to him, or DeFilippo, so I think they all understand what's at stake here. If they didn't, or if they don't, and they don't make the necessary adjustments, then we all know what the NFL stands for. You won't be around much longer. It'll definitely be not for long that they will then start looking to do other things. So Matt gets it. I still have faith in him. I really do. I understand the pressure he's under. I know he's getting it from all angles right now because people are tired of the offense not matching the defensive output. And look, if I was there making decisions, if I was a team president or a GM, friends or not, I would be like, Matt, man, hey, how do we get this rolling? Because we can't waste this defense. We can't waste this opportunity. So I'm sure those hard conversations are being had. And I'm sure all kinds of people who have Matt's ear and Matt himself are going, hey, look, they're all putting their heads together going, we got to figure this out, man. We got to figure this out.
Good stuff from Lewis Riddick. Let's hope they can figure it out. Let's see something change. I mean, it's we see the same thing over and over again. And that's the problem. And that's why the offense has done nothing. It's the same problems. It's the same
dysfunction.
Dysfunction, vanilla almost, I guess,
grotesque
offense at times.
Grotesque inability to string plays, complementary plays together.
Yeah, there's not the creative genius we thought we were going to see. It's
the shooting in the foot with penalties and or breakdowns within the offensive line that cause negative yardage plays that puts you in terrible situations, second and 8+, third and 7+, which are not high percentage opportunities for your team to convert on third down when they get in there.
So the Bears are 4-1, but it just still feels like a flimsy 4-1. Who's most to blame for this, and how is the offense going to get going? 312-332-3776. That's the number. We'll take Bears calls when we come back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Football Friday, it's Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you watch us on Twitch. Very simple, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app, even better, and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. You don't want to miss it because, you know, you wouldn't have been able to see Gorton the Fisherman in here earlier today.
Glorious.
Gordon's Fisherman.
Mr. Submarine himself, Mr. Yellow Submarine, sure. David Kaplan.
Look good.
I know I've harped on the Cole Kmet stuff here a lot. Not that I think, Cole Kmet's a bust or anything like that. I'm wondering why the hell Cole Kmet's not involved at all with this offense. And I hope it starts to change. They keep saying things like, well, yeah, we're a little disappointed. We know we got to get, it's not his fault. We got to get him involved. You're the play caller. You're the head coach and play caller. Stop saying it. Get him involved. He was on the field for like 30% of the snaps again last
period.
Week. His teammate, Chase Claypool, who was drafted, what, six, seven spots after Cole Kmet, was targeted 11 times on Sunday. Now, I get it. Sometimes that happens. Juju's a little bit banged up. Deontay Johnson's been banged up. So, for whatever reason, in the flow of the game, he was the guy that the Eagles couldn't handle, and Big Ben just kept going at him. But Chase Claypool has been targeted 20 times this year, guys. Cole Kmet's been targeted 3 times. I'm not joking. Like, Cole Kmet has 3 targets. Chase Claypool has 20 in Pittsburgh.
What about Cole Kmet's special teams blocking? Have you noticed any of that yet?
I don't pay close enough attention on special teams.
Do you know why? Because we're not here to wonder what the hell he's doing on special teams. He needs to be starting. He needs to work his way into the lineup. Now, Jimmy Graham has been wonderfully productive in the red zone.
Yeah, and that's great.
But he can't get open that much either. Everything is contested with Jimmy Graham.
Well,
and because of his size and his frame, that's why he's productive.
Absolutely. Like, Cole Kmet's, like, at this stage of his career, Graham is a guy who just boxes out in the red zone. That's what
right.
he does well.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
It's been valuable for the Bears.
To your point, Carm, he was on the field for 21 snaps. That was 33% of the snaps the last game.
A third of the snaps.
For the fifth consecutive game, Demetrius Harris has out-snapped Cole Kmet. Forget Jimmy Graham, because they can both be on the field at the same time, depending on the formations.
Right.
But Demetrius Harris is out-snapping Cole Kmet. Why?
I don't know.
Let's figure out which personal grouping he ends up on the field with. Is there a special package that he ends up on the field with? Something they got where Corduroy Patterson is in the backfield or something, and all of a sudden that's that,
when they go 12 personnel.
Blue bombers, and it's that group of guys that goes in for the, for that play.
I mean, it sounds like what Mellor's saying, when if they are going 12, it sounds like it's more Jimmy Graham and Demetrius Harris.
That's exactly what he's saying. Which is what I'm just trying, but it's not as simple to me as just three wides, one tight end, or two tight ends, not as simple. What I'm talking about is a grouping within a group. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Package.
Right.
Queens for us is three wides, one tight end, one back.
Joker package, right? Eric, didn't you used to say
exactly,
that?
Exactly, Joker, Jack package, Jack all package, of it. Yeah. But Kings. My point is that within that group, there might be a special group that they throw out there for a specific place.
Yeah. Let's try to track it a little
bit. I'm going to try to track it this week.
I mean, 3 targets on the year. Cole Kmet has 1 catch for 12 yards. He was their top pick.
Not good enough.
1 catch, 12 yards. Kevin's in Canaryville. And I'm not blaming Cole Kmet, by the way. That's not what this is about.
Right.
I'm not blaming Cole Kmet.
We want to see more of him. Period.
Kevin's in Canaryville. What's up?
Hey, guys. So I've often heard Matt Nagy referred to as an offensive play-calling genius. Didn't he have the job for exactly half a season
in Kansas City? 5 weeks, I think he called. I think he called plays for five. Maybe it was half the season. I want to say it was like somewhere between maybe 5 and 7 weeks, Kevin. You're right.
Right. So you guys talked about, how the defenses around the league have caught up with him, especially last year. So at what point does he relinquish the play-calling duties, and is there somebody on that staff that is capable of doing it? So, obviously, he's a great head coach, but I don't think he's much of a play-caller.
Thank you, Kevin.
Right. They just did that in New York. Adam Gase
said,
hey, I'm thinking about giving up my play-calling duties to my guys, and they all got together in the meeting room, and the crazy-eyed Adam Gase looked at them all and said, I still think I'm the best one. Don't you all agree with me? Yeah, and then they said, yes, we agree with you. And now the mantra out of New York is, well, it's not the play calling, it's the execution.
They should have known something was wrong the minute they held that press conference.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about?
I think the point is, it's the same thing here. you know, I'll consider giving up my play calling duties. Then he'll go around the room and say, no, I think I'm still the best guy that's going to call
you
play.
You brought him here because that's what
that's
he does.
Exactly,
like,
correct.
This is not Mike McCarthy, you know, right. 10 years in with a Super Bowl skin on the wall saying, I've got to focus more on the little things as the head coach of this team.
Right. Sean Payton calls plays because that's what Sean Payton does.
Yeah.
And his guy, Ricky Carmichael Jr., Pete Carmichael Jr. is not calling plays.
Now,
he'd like to, but he's not calling
there
plays.
There are some examples of like what Kevin was talking about. Maybe Nagy's better suited someday as like a Mike Tomlin head coach. As Mike Tomlin doesn't call plays. Mike Tomlin's a great head coach because Mike Tomlin knows how to do everything else.
He doesn't call defense plays.
No. And I don't think he ever has, as a head coach.
Keith Butler.
Yes.
Is their defense coordinator down there.
And Dick LeBeau was for a long time. Right. Mike Tomlin's great because he knows how to be a head coach. John Harbaugh is great. Now, he was a special teams coordinator, too. I don't want to disrespect that or demean that at all. But he doesn't have to call plays because he knows how to be a great head coach and how to run the organization. Maybe that is Matt Nagy someday because they do seem to play for Matt. Like, Matt seems to be able to rally guys around him and around the idea of the team and this is what we need. Maybe he can be like Tomlin or Harbaugh someday. I don't really know, but you didn't bring him here for that. You brought him here because you thought he was going to fix your offense finally. And you entrusted a quarterback in him. Now, that's not on Matt. Mitch was the wrong pick, period, end of story. But now it's time for Matt to get it going. Now you've got the quarterback you want. You've got some of the weapons you want. You drafted Cole Kmet with the early second-round pick. So now get it going, for crying out loud. We'll take a quick break here, and then when we come back, more of your Bears call. Sit tight. We got plenty of time. We're guest-free for another 35 minutes, and then we got Todd Furman live in Vegas. Yurko's keys are coming up, but we have more to talk about with Bears and Panthers. I have some other defensive numbers that I want to talk about. They're good. Have we raised the bar too high? Are the expectations too high for this defense? Because if you've been critical of them, when you hear some of the numbers I'm going to give you, you might say, wow, geez, that's pretty good. Plus, there are a lot of people who want to talk Bears. Who are you throwing the blame at most right now, even though they're 4-1? And what do you want to see from this offense finally? 312-332-3776. We're back in just 2 minutes.